In El Paso, Texas, less than 6 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border, sits an Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center equipped to hold hundreds of undocumented detainees.
The first calls I got were from some men from Cuba who described themselves as Cuban dissidents.
Last month, Associated Press reporter Garance Burke began receiving calls from several men being held inside the facility.
They were really concerned about the treatment that they were getting from the guards. They said that they were not being allowed to get out of the facility on bond, whereas other detainees were. And they said that they had stopped eating and in some cases stopped drinking water.
The self-described Cuban dissidents were not the only detainees refusing food.
The Cuban men told me that there were a group of men from India who were in even worse shape than they, the Cubans, were. They said the Indian men were being force-fed. And I said, force-fed? What does that look like? Typically, medical experts wind a tube around their finger to make it bend and then put some lubricant on the tip and shove it into a patient's nose. And one of the detainees who I spoke with last week, who was himself being force-fed, described it as just excruciating, that he's having persistent nosebleeds. The procedure causes him to vomit. It sounds really, really painful.
The detainee says he lost 50 pounds since the start of his hunger strike.
This man came to the United States seeking asylum. He was escaping a very violent situation in his home state of Punjab in India. He walked across the border, was charged with a misdemeanor that sometimes folks don't even end up serving time in immigration detention for. He ended up instead in the El Paso Processing Center, where he, like the Cubans, said that he was being discriminated against, was not allowed to get out on bond. And he decided to stop eating and drinking in protest of the conditions there.
ICE officials have since confirmed that 10 detainees are on a hunger strike in the El Paso facility, and 9 of them are being force-fed under a court order issued by a federal judge in mid-January. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Tanzina Vega this week, and this is The Takeaway. When I spoke to Garance Burke, she walked me through the steps that ICE is supposed to take before force-feeding detainees.
Hunger strikes among immigrant detainees are actually pretty uncommon. And what's even more uncommon is for ICE to go to federal judges and ask for a court order to get permission to force-feed those people who are on hunger strike. We as yet have not been able to see copies of those court orders, but the government says that they have permission to do this. That has occurred a few times in the past. We noted other instances in which the government asked a judge for permission to start force feeding people, but no one we've spoken with has heard of this actually occurring before, which puts us in really uncharted territory for the government to be feeding people against their will.
Has ICE responded to your reporting in any way other than saying that they do have authorization to do this?
The government has said that they don't retaliate in any way against hunger strikers, and for their health and safety, the agency monitors the food and water intake of detainees who are refusing to eat, who are on hunger strike. But from talking to this Indian man last week, who we identified by his last name, Singh, it sounds as if the detainees have a very different version of events, which includes being, you know, dragged from their cells 3 times a day, strapped down on a bed while a whole group of people forces these tubes into their noses.
And in the meantime, these detainees are telling you that their concerns, their issues are not being addressed.
That's correct. They say, you know, they want to be able to get out of detention on bond. The one Indian man who I spoke with said that his asylum claim was unfairly denied. Some of these men have passed the first step towards getting asylum. They're all sort of in different immigration situations, but they do feel that the mistreatment inside the facility continues. And I think that, you know, this is just really unprecedented. Because I think most people were familiar with the idea of force feeding at Guantanamo Bay, you know, when that situation garnered such international blowback. So I think it was just very surprising for many people to learn that force feeding is actually happening, you know, on the mainland in immigration detention facilities.
Your reporting has gotten some play in Congress. Do you think there's going to be a national response on this issue of force feeding?
Well, late last week, a congresswoman from Texas toured the facility, and she said that it was really extremely concerning to see the situation that the men were in. I don't know as yet what else may come of this, but so far, Congresswoman Veronica Escobar is saying that she's definitely going to follow up.
Where else might this story go from here? What are some of your unanswered questions about what's happening in this El Paso facility that you're pursuing this week?
Well, I think one of the things that we're really interested in is, what do these court orders say? What were the reasons given by the U.S. government to force feed these men? I think that the government typically says that it's for their own health, that if they did not do this, the men would die. But on the other hand, you know, you have all of these international bodies that say, even if that's the case, if the men are able to make decisions on their own, then it's unethical to force them to eat. So we'd really like to see a copy of those court orders. We also really want to get a sense as to where else this may be happening. The government has said that there is force feeding occurring in El Paso, but we are wondering if this may be occurring elsewhere or has occurred elsewhere in the recent past inside these immigration detention facilities around the country.
That was Garance Burke, investigative reporter for the AP. We reached out to Immigration and Customs Enforcement about this story. They sent us a comment that included this statement: U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement fully respects the rights of all people to voice their opinion without interference. ICE does not retaliate in any way against hunger strikers. ICE explains the negative health effects of not eating to our detainees for their health and safety. ICE closely monitors the food and water intake of those detainees identified as being on a hunger strike. We're going to go now to Grace Meng, a senior U.S. researcher with Human Rights Watch. Her group opposes the practice of force feeding. And last year, she visited immigrant detainees on a hunger strike in Washington State's Northwest Detention Center. Grace, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Grace, is force feeding allowed under international law? Can you explain what the rules are here?
Force feeding, which, as Garance described, involves pushing a feeding tube down a patient's nose, is inherently cruel, inhuman, and degrading. Medical ethics, human rights norms generally prohibit force feeding of people who are competent, who are rational and able to refuse food and know the consequences of refusing food. And it can rise to the level of torture as defined under the Convention Against Torture.
You mentioned medical ethics. I want to go back to something that AP reporter Garance Burke told me. According to her, force feeding raises a lot of flags for the people tasked with getting detainees to eat.
Nonetheless, this still poses real ethical issues for the doctors and nurses and other medical professionals who work inside these facilities, because the American Medical Association, for instance, says force feeding hunger strikers is unethical.
So to Garance's point about the ethical questions that doctors and nurses are faced with, are they violating the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm if they carry this out? What are their obligations here?
Well, in medical ethics, it's allowed, you know, a patient is allowed to refuse treatment. And it's a medical professional's duty to inform the patient of the consequences of refusing treatment. But in the same way that someone who has cancer could decide to refuse chemotherapy, someone who is rational, who is on hunger strike, who is competent, can refuse the treatment of food. Mm-hmm. And I have spoken to, you know, one doctor who said, and for him, it would violate medical ethics to force feed someone.
So when a detainee does go on a hunger strike, if this happens, how should medical officials respond? How should ICE respond, in your opinion?
Well, certainly the duty of medical professionals in these facilities to counsel the people who are on hunger strike, to make sure that they understand the consequences, to assess whether they are rational and competent. But I think what's really important is that these hunger strikers are trying to draw attention to really difficult, dangerous, and often abusive conditions. And it's really important for ICE and the doctors to be listening to their concerns, to recognize that there's a valid protest going on, and to say that force feeding is necessary is really just an appalling response to someone asserting their right to protest.
Garance mentioned that this is the first case we know of involving forced feeding in immigration detention, but it was used in Guantanamo against accused terrorist detainees. And then you also spoke with ICE detainees on a hunger strike in Washington state last year, and they were threatened with force feeding. Is that right?
Yes. The men that I spoke to said that they had been threatened with force feeding. They were shown a copy of a court order saying that they were going to be force fed. And because of this threat, they began taking liquid nutrition. But they continued to refuse solid food for some time afterward.
How effective of threatening the force feeding do you think is that in this detention, in a detention facility? I mean, is ICE doing the right thing by threatening it? And then, you know, maybe the detainees will start to take some food.
From a medical ethics perspective, I don't think threatening someone, a patient, with restraint, with force, with coercion, in order to make them consent to treatment would be appropriate. And I think what was really being lost in the focus simply on the force feeding is the conditions, is the situation of people who are protesting what is essentially indefinite detention. You know, one thing about immigration detention is that you're held until your case concludes. It's in ICE's interest to make you give up, to make you say that, you know, you will just stop and be deported. Anyone who persists in trying to pursue their case because of policies of this administration are going to find it harder and harder to get released while their cases are pending. And so, you know, these people are making an act of desperation in response to a really irrational situation.
Grace, can you tell me real quick before I leave you, what would you like to see from Congress in response to the force feeding that ICE confirms is going on?
Well, as I was saying, I think that the force feeding is a serious problem and it needs to be stopped. But Congress has to do its job in terms of oversight of these detention centers. You know, the Office of Inspector General recently put out a report saying that there were 14,000 deficiencies in ICE's own detention standards between October 2015 and June 2018. ICE only issued 2 fines during this time. This is an incredibly broken system. Congress should do its job and make sure that conditions are safe, and they should reduce the amount of money that is going to detaining people in this abusive system.
Thank you, Grace. Grace Meng is a senior U.S. researcher with Human Rights Watch. Thanks for coming on The Takeaway.
Thank you very much.